exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
The question is, how could I do any better of a job at this radio show? I know what you're thinking. You can't, because you're so good at it already. Well, I'll try, though. I'll try, because, you know, we all have room for improvement. The only way I think I could do better is to have better guests. So we'll start out the show today with the top of the better guest category. At least I'm saying that because he's listening. Michael Austin, editor-in-chief of Autoblog, autoblog.com. And Michael Austin is... Because he's a car guy, and he and I have known each other for a while, although I don't recognize him when he's walking around in a suit and tie, he walks right by me and says, hi, and I'm like, hi there, I don't know who you are, and he's like, no, it's me, Michael. I'm like, but you're wearing a suit and tie. Anyway, but he's sitting in a car talking about cars, and where are you today, my friend?
I'm in the middle of mid-Michigan, middle-lower Michigan.
Motor City. All right. Good.
Yeah.
Well,
close enough.
Close enough. Well, listen.
Detroit adjacent.
There you go. I mean, you know, I mean, you don't have to tell everybody exactly where you are.
Yeah. I'm glad you think I make the show better, by the way.
Well, you know what it is? Because at the end of the day, you're an authentic guy and you are who you are. And I am who I am. And I don't have to, you know, blow smoke up your butt or anything like that, which I don't actually do. Because that would require you pulling your pants down. I don't want to see that. But you know, you know a lot about cars. And that's our job here, to talk about cars. So Geneva Auto Show, let's start out with that. Then I want to talk a little bit about, you know, Trump, who's kind of revisiting the fuel economy regulations thing. Going to maybe kind of revise what Obama did. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But just to wrap up, I've been asking all the friends that talk about Geneva. Geneva's kind of the supercar show. But you may have saw something that might have been, a little more interesting than all the supercars, the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis everybody's been talking about, unless there wasn't anything. What'd you see?
Geneva is the supercar show. It's like, you know, if SEMA is your, like, major thing for muscle cars and Autorama for hot rods, Geneva is the same thing for supercars. Like,
right.
They have everything. You know, I loved it. You know, you had the new McLaren and the new Ferrari and the new Lamborghini. One thing I thought that was probably one of the coolest things was the Bentley. That, you know, they had a small two-seater, which it was tiny by Bentley standards, and then also an EV where they're saying, you know, we're ready for this future. The whole Volkswagen group is saying we're going to move to a lot of battery stuff, and Bentley's saying, you know, here's a possible solution for how we might look at this. And the kind of cool thing about it is, you know, every historic Bentley has all this torque, like, you know, almost like a diesel truck.
Right.
And, you know, what better way to showcase, like, the heft and torque of a Bentley than an electric motor?
Well, and you know what, people, if you think about it, when you turn your light on at home in your bedroom, the light goes bam and it's on. And that's the way power can come on. And that's why when you think EV, electric vehicle, you know, most of the time your brain says, oh, fuel economy, Toyota Prius or whatever. But no, this is a performance equation, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. They're all like that. But, you know, the other thing, too, is it's getting to that area where, yeah, the luxury car makers are, they don't have to say this is a green thing. They say this is a performance thing.
And that's, right.
One other item from Geneva, Porsche came out with the Panamera Turbo S, which is their highest performance Panamera. It's got, you know, the second most horsepower of any Porsche ever made, and that's a hybrid.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think we're going to see more and more and more of this type of thing that it will change the way we think. You know, you blew past something there. I want to just back up a little bit. Volkswagen Group. You're talking about Bentley, and then you went, the Volkswagen Group, blah, 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 blah. I know that people actually know. You and I know. But let's tell the world, the Volkswagen Group, who else do they own besides Volkswagen? Because they are a big concern.
Yeah, so just in cars, they own Volkswagen, Audi, Bentley, Lamborghini, Skoda. I might be forgetting one. And then they own, you know, some truck stuff and also heavy, and Porsche.
I was going to say, I'm waiting. I'm like, hold on, something is missing here. By the way, I like a good Skoda. I happen to like Dr. Pepper. Yeah, because a lot of people don't even know what that is here. Again, unless you've been out of the country, you're like, what the heck is Škoda? Well, anyway, we don't need to talk about that because you don't see them here. Stay with us. We're going to talk.
Well, another European one is Seat, the Spanish one,
right?
Which is kind of just rebadged Audis and Volkswagens,
and it's spelled S-E-A-T. So when I went to Europe and I went, hey, look at that car, it's a seat. I drive a seat around. No, it's Seat. All right, we'll take a break. Michael Austin, editor-in-chief, Autoblog's going to be right back. On the other side, I want to talk about this whole thing with the fuel economy regulations. Trump's taking a look at it. We'll see what that's going to mean to you and me. It is The Drive. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Yeah, our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. And some of those champions are cars like Bentley. The Bentley Michael Austin, editor-in-chief of Autoblog, was talking about. The name of it is the EXP12. Google it. EXP12. It's an EV Bentley. I imagine it still has Brembo brakes. Michael Austin, let's talk about Trump. I mean, he's mixing things up a little bit in the whole United States, and he's looking at every little thing and every little nook and cranny. And now taking a look at the fuel economy regulations, what is this going to mean?
Well, so a few days back he came to Michigan and he made a big speech. And what he said was that they're going to revisit the corporate average fuel economy standard. So right now that's set at 54.5 by 2025. And, you know, you hear 54.5, you think, oh, my God, you know, my car gets 30. I thought that was big. It's 54.5 is the number that the EPA uses in this test. And by the time it gets to your window sticker, they do all these other adjustments and other tests that help give you sort of a real-world figure. The 54 translates so they can compare it to really old numbers. But still, it's a really high goal. And automakers have kind of said, we don't know if we can do this.
Right. Well, it's an unreasonable goal. It's like, you know, we're playing a game, and I go, you know, all right, when you say jump, I'll jump, and how high should I jump? You know, they always say don't ask how high or whatever, I'll jump as high as I can. It's like, all right, I want you to jump 175 feet. It's like, well, I can jump, you know, a foot or two or three. That's like completely useless, it's unattainable, I think, without making cars ridiculous. I mean, it is attainable if cars were ridiculous. But we still like the Hellcat with 707 horsepower, which gets 22 miles to the gallon, by the way. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, oh yeah. So that's, you know, they could get there, but it depends on how much it's going to cost and what you're going to give up and what kind of innovations are going to come through. But the thing to me is it's a bad idea for the American auto companies because they're always going to say keep the fuel economy regulations low. Then they can, you know, sell more trucks and make more money, which is great. Until fuel prices go up and they go, oh, we don't have any efficient cars and we're lagging the competition because the European regulations aren't going to back down and those companies are all going to make, you know, more and more efficient cars and figure out ways to do it. What I would really like to see instead of that slackening is I think maybe a little more coordination on the concept of fuel economy. Because right now we have cheap gas and then we have high fuel economy standards. So then people use less gas, keeps the price of gas down, encourages people to buy less fuel-efficient cars. And if you say we want more fuel-efficient cars, that's the idea behind the regulations. So you make these high regulations, it keeps gas cheap, and then, you know, doesn't fund the roads. It creates an internal conflict. You know, so the way to do it, I think, or, you know, the leadership I think we should see where we say, okay, look, we don't want to punish people, we don't want to raise the price of cars, but we still want to encourage less consumption and less import of oil, is figure out some way to reconcile that, you know, gas tax and gas prices with those fuel economy standards. And you know, they could have done something like saying, we're going to completely revise the standards, but it's going to mean a gas tax, you know, I think that would long-term might have been a better decision than just saying, we're going to let these automakers keep making a bunch of money on you know, big, heavy trucks and SUVs and Hellcats, which in some ways are great, but also, you know, if we get a gas price spike, they might be in trouble.
Well, all right, and it's all fair. Let me ask you this. Is this 54.5 mile per gallon fuel economy regulation, is it even attainable, do you think?
I think some automakers will be able to make it. You know, like the Prius right now as a single car is already way ahead of it.
Yeah, but that's a single car, though. I mean, any automaker, it's across the board. The total package of trucks, cars, SUVs, all combined is the 54.5 number, right?
Right. So, you know, I'd say some are going to make it, some aren't. Some of them are going to have to pay fines. So, but I would guess, yeah, some automakers are just going to plain miss it. They're going to say, hey, look, it's cheaper to pay the fine.
Right. Well, I don't know. You know what? Thank God Alan Taylor is not the guy in charge of that crap. I would lower that number to 25 in a heartbeat. We'll take a break. Do one more segment with you, Michael. Michael Austin is editor-in-chief of Autoblog. Autoblog is humongous. It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Autoblog.com. I'm Alan Taylor. It is The Drive. Don't go anywhere. The Craftsman C3 19.2 volt 3-speed impact driver boasts 3 user selectable speeds to help you get your project done right. The low speed setting helps with projects that require precise control. Medium speed prevents overdriving, and the high speed will give you the power and speed to get the job done fast, delivering up to 3,500 impacts per minute and over 1,600 inch pounds of torque. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
So our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, born Dodge. Dodge, domestic, but not domesticated. And, you know, they've got a new vehicle coming out called the Demon. And they've been dropping these Easter eggs along the way, little kind of hints of what this car will be. And they're making us hunt for the next little cool thing. And what they do is they put little hints of what may be of this new car that they're going to show in New York April 11th. So April 11th, I'll be there doing some kind of coverage of that. And I'll show it. I'm hoping to be able to show it on Live with Kelly on ABC. I'll be on all week, the 10th through the 14th. We are sponsored by Dodge, and I drive a Dodge Viper ACR, American Club Racer. Complete, wild, violent machine, and I love it. Michael Austin is joining us. He's the editor-in-chief of Autoblog, autoblog.com. What else has been going on in your world, Michael?
Well, you know that Demon, where when they show it in New York before the show, they're doing it at the pier where the Titanic left from.
No.
Yeah. they're going all in with the evil.
Right, right. I love that. I mean, that's, again, see, I didn't even know that, and I'm involved a little bit. I know some of what's going on, but they keep on doing all these little funny things that just make you go, what the heck is this Demon going to be?
They have all these clues out there. There's like, you know, they've showed 757 a couple times, but they've also shown like something in the 800s. So we can't even guess if it's going to be 757 horsepower or 800 horsepower. Or 1,000 horsepower.
There was one commercial or one of the things they dropped, whatever you want to call it, a video. And there was a little white mouse. And they had the close-up on this little white mouse. The car's coming down the street. Little white mouse, and it scurries away. And they said to me, do you know what that is? And I go, haven't got a clue. The mouse was scared to death of the Demon coming, right? He goes, no. He goes, come on, think about it. Do you know what it is, Michael?
The only thing that comes to mind is an old Ford big block, which you used to call the rat.
No, that's a rat. What did they call the small block Chevy? The mouse.
Oh,
See, I didn't. And it was like, I felt so stupid. But, you know, again, I mean, there's so many things, so many little tricks and fun things to do. You know, who the heck knows, right? So here's my question for you. You were about to tell me about what? J.D. Power and Associates? You guys got some info from them?
Yeah, they just let out a couple new surveys today. One is the customer service index. Talk about stuff that you and I don't usually have to go to, which is the dealer service departments and who does the best. So it's a little bit, you know, if you never have to go in, it's never a problem. Or if the fix is quick, it's never a problem. But it's not quite the car, but it's kind of a brand thing. And Lexus was right at the top, but Buick was the big surprise. They went up a lot, and they were the highest American brand.
It's interesting to think about Buick, you know, with the car companies and the marks that have been shut down by General Motors and Pontiac, and, you know, over at FCA, they shut down Plymouth, and Mercury is gone, you know. It's so Buick is one of those ones that is like, it's like the cockroach. It won't die. And in China, the thing's like, you know, it's like driving a Bentley or a Buick. Either one. They're good with either one, you know? It's bizarre.
Yeah, you know, it's actually, I take that back. Cadillac was the highest, or Lincoln was the highest American brand, but Buick was the highest mass market brand, which, you know, that's kind of the thing about their survival you look at. You know, they're a little bit luxury, a little bit mass market. They're in this middle ground that, you know, it's kind of like Rodney Dangerfield. I might not get respect, but it doesn't go away.
Well, and I'm very actually amazed that you just said that Lincoln was also very high. Another brand that I have to think they thought about, you know, shutting that one down. You got to figure it was not doing well, but it's coming back, obviously, very strong. Interesting. Well, I have a Fiat right now. I've had it for since 2012, so we're going on, wow, that thing must be paid off. I got to go check. Anyway, I haven't had any problems except one when they needed to reflash the onboard computer, and it's been a really great little car. The problem is, you know, the dealer's 100 miles away from where I live. Now, I live in an obscure little place in Oregon, purposely so, by the way, because people are looking for me. But I have to drive 100 miles to go to a dealer, and they don't really care that I'm coming 100 miles. So I would love to see Fiat care a little bit more. But again, we're talking about cars that start in the $14,000, $15,000 price range. How much can they care? It's like, you know, they're not making enough money to be able to spend a lot of time with each and every customer. It's got to be turn and burn, where Buick and Lincoln, they give you that premium experience. And, you know, Range Rover and Cadillac and, you know, all the premium brands can really just love you to death, which you pay for. So how's the website doing? You guys continuing to grow, Autoblog?
Yeah, we're growing. We have more and more reviews up every day. Wait.
Did you say you have more and more of you? You're putting pictures of me up there?
No, more and more reviews.
Oh, review. I thought you said more and more of you up there. And I thought, well, no wonder you're growing that site. It's awesome. Thank you. Anyway,
yeah, we'll
take it all back.
We'll put your face as our Twitter profile photos. It'll blow right up. No, we just gave a new look to the site that kind of shows off all the different things we're doing in terms of reviews and videos, and then we still make it easier to get to the news feed, and the site loads faster than ever before. So, you know, we're firing on all cylinders.
So tell the world, for people that have never been to Autoblog, what are the expectations you want to set for them? What are they going to get there, real quick?
They're going to get everything. So they're going to get all of the newest automotive reviews. They're going to get, you know, reviews of new models, news, reviews of new models, insight on those models, like, you know, little things that we're starting to notice that we want to share with you. And then all you could ever look for shopping and research and, you know, ownership, like looking for advice on a repair. We try to give you everything.
Awesome. Well, I have a perfect song because I feel like this works for you. They're going to get 99 balloons also. I think that comes with the deal, right?
Yeah, and our logo's red. It's perfect.
Okay, there you go. Michael Austin, everybody, editor-in-chief of Autoblog, autoblog.com. Thank you, Michael. Get back on the road now.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back with more here on The Drive. Stay with us.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a Torque Flight 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, all this hoopla about the EPA and the Trump, the whole thing with Trump jumping in on all that. I think it, you know, it's there's a lot of opinions on how things are going to work out when it's all said and done. Brian Moody joining us right now, executive editor, AutoTrader, AutoTrader.com.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Yeah, he's gonna. You're actually gonna be talking about this new alternate fuel vehicle, the Honda Clarity. But give me your two cents on the EPA stuff.
Well, the first thing is it absolutely ought to be the government's position to set standards and to set rules. That's something that you don't want to leave that to automakers because they have money to make. But it's the automakers and the voters, it's our job, even as journalists, let's just say, to inform the government, the sanctioning bodies, and others as to what are the results of those going to be. You can raise fuel economy limits all you want, but there are ramifications from that. There are consequences. Might be fewer jobs. Might be more jobs. Might be more expensive cars, and you price certain people out of the market who otherwise need a car. At some point, you have to look at the access to free, or not free, but the access to personal transportation as a human rights kind of issue, because in many cities, you need a car to work. And raising and lowering these things have an impact on society, and that's our job to tell them what those impacts are, not to tell them what the goals should be.
See, as a muscle car guy and a kind of a gearhead, you know, I just see that it's, I don't know, more electric cars. And, of course, you know, listen, electric cars aren't bad. You're getting ready to talk about this fuel cell vehicle, the Clarity. And they keep on wowing guys like me with the fact that they turn the electric part of that whole equation into a performance equation. And I'm like, hey, whoa, now I can wrap my brain around it. But right. I still love, and I know you're the same way, I love the sound, the music that come out of the exhaust of these V8s. And, of course, even my Viper with a V10, it's of course, it's an ACR, so it's like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, what the heck is going on over there, you know? But it sounds like a NASCAR car just started. But I love that. But I also, I'm more and more and more starting to embrace the fact that some of this stuff's pretty darn smart. Now, let's talk about this Honda Clarity, because I don't even know that 98% of people know what this vehicle is. Go for it.
Well, okay, so speaking of the performance aspect of it, it's a great handling car. And so if you think about the Honda Clarity, this is a production car that you can buy at this point only in California. It's a lease. It's about, I think, $300, $370 a month, something like that. About the size of a Honda Accord, a little bit different looking, but it's all electric, and it gets its electricity by you fill up a pressurized tank with hydrogen, and the chemical reaction between hydrogen and then the air that's around us converts it into electricity, so you never have to plug it in. The limitation is, how many hydrogen stations do you know of? Well, there are many in California, but the rest of the country not so much. It even has, now this is the performance part that I think people like you and I can really get behind. It has 174 horsepower, so it feels quick. It's a fun car to drive. They even came up with this little electric turbocharger, for lack of a better explanation, that kind of forces air into the fuel cell to make it, when you really stomp on it, it needs extra air. It needs to, you know, okay, process the electricity quicker, and you can kind of hear it spooling up. It's kind of neat. You know, so after this, they're going to have a Clarity series of cars, which will include a battery electric and then later a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. But I don't think that all cars that are alternative fuel, Chevy Bolt is a good example, and the Honda Clarity, they don't have to all be boring. There can be fun cars too, and I think that those two are examples of cars where they're fun to drive and they're also accomplishing their, say, environmental goal at the same time.
So what you're saying is the Honda Clarity hydrogen fuel cell car has a flux capacitor from Back to the Future.
All I know is I got into the car and there was this dial that I had to set it to a certain date,
right,
and I had to get back to the future so I could get back to the present so I could get, it's so confusing.
Right, which, but by the way, that was like last year, you know, that date that he set was last year, I think.
Yeah, I know. But so this, I would say this is a futuristic type of car. When you look at what the Honda Clarity has done, it's one of those things where you're like, this is like the future, man. Like, it's basically seems like it's making energy out of nothing. Hydrogen, a naturally occurring thing, but it has to be pressurized, and air, and then electricity. So, in a way, it's kind of cool if you get into the technology of it, but it's also a nice car on the inside, too. So it's not a cheapie. It's not all plasticky. It feels like they could have called it an Acura in terms of quality inside, but they decided to call it a Honda because that's their big corporate name. And, you know, it's decent, and I think people who like to drive, can get behind it and enjoy it too.
You know, and that's the funny thing. You kind of blended two worlds just now. You had, you know, technology, you know, the flux capacitor and all that. We were joking around about that. That's what it's like to most people, right? It's like, I don't know how I make hydrogen into electricity into, you know, making that car go down the road. That's like, you might as well just said flux capacitor. But then you also said, but it's like a nice Honda Accord. And then I can, okay, I can wrap my brain around that because I understand it, because it's something I've seen. And so it's like, you know, it's really important that when they do issue forth new technologies like this, that they put it in a package that we consumers actually understand and can wrap our brains around. And that's the worst and hardest part about technology, is getting people to embrace it. You know, it's like, no, I don't want that. I'm one of those guys. Believe me, I think I'm the masses. You know,
if they make it fun, I think that will get more people in.
If they gamify it, correct.
And making it fun to drive is part of it. Like, I'll just use an example. Chevy Spark, when you drive that, you're like, no, come on, this is not, I'm only going to buy this to save money. But Chevy Bolt, Honda Clarity, and a couple others like that, you're like, okay, this is actually I enjoy driving. This is a car that I could own, where I feel like I'm doing my part, but I also get to be selfish and have a good time.
Have you driven the Bolt, B-O-L-T, Bolt?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It's excellent. We're easily exceeding the range. So the range is 328. The Honda Clarity, by the way, is range is 366 between Phillips. So the Bolt, you plug in, though, and the range is to 238, easily exceeding that.
Wait a minute. You said easily. You said 330. Is it 238, 238?
The Clarity is 366.
Okay, so 366 and 238.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So 238, we were easily exceeding that without trying.
Wow, an electric car,
An all-electric car. Ooh. No gasoline engine anywhere, no hydrogen filling up, just plugging it in. The Bolt is fun to drive. It's got 200 horsepower in a small car. Yeah. It's quick. It has a little paddle on the steering wheel where you can regenerate power as you drive. So say you're coming down a hill, you just pull this paddle and it like kind of doesn't put the brakes on, but like it makes the friction in the wheels more intense so you can put more power back into it.
Kind of a regenerative braking kind of a thing.
Exactly, but regenerative braking on demand, where you hit a paddle on the steering wheel. The downside is it's a small car, so you have to be okay with that. And, you know, it's fine, but it is a fun car to drive, and they did give it enough cool stuff inside. Big giant touch screen and the way the gauges look and the you know, sport mode, that kind of stuff, that it's, you know, it's entertaining.
Well, if you're looking for alternate fueled vehicles, folks, you cannot buy the Clarity. As you said, you can buy one, but technically you're actually only leasing it.
You're leasing it in California,
This is really an exercise for Honda, I think, of making sure people get miles on these things and get used to driving them. They're probably like $1 million a piece. That's why
I'm sure they're losing money.
The Chevy Bolt, you can buy. It's, you know, it's yester. Yeah. It's actually almost considered yester technology, you know, yester tech, because it's not new technology. They've just packaged it right now.
No, but what they've done is they've given it a high range at a reasonable price. So price for the Bolt is $37,500. If you get your federal tax credit, if you qualify for that, the price is then, let's just say, around $30,000. That's pretty good for a car that I personally drove for 5 days without ever bothering to plug it in or visit a charger. Whew. That's pretty good.
Well, that technology, by the way, the only thing new there is the battery technology, because the better the batteries get, the longer the range will be.
Yep.
And the safer and smaller and all that. So battery technology, yes, new.
Yeah.
You know, having an electric car is almost like, you know, freaking, how long have we had electric drills? It's electric drill.
We've had electric cars 100 years ago.
Right. We've had electric drills with four wheels a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for the insights and the updates. It sounds like, are you at the airport?
No, I'm actually just standing in my house, but there's a gigantic thing going over right now.
Okay. Well, I don't
know. Hey, it's Red Dawn. Look out. Exactly. Alan, it's Red Dawn.
Brian Moody, nice knowing you, buddy.
All right, man.
Questions are coming. Executive Editor, Auto Trader, autotrader.com. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Yeah.
Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. with Haynes Manual Online. You get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes Online Manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it's time to talk about the weekend a little bit because, you know, I was looking, you know, what's good at the movies? I said to my wife, you want to go to the movies? Let's do our weekly date that we do about once every 5 years. You know, because you're supposed to have a date with your wife, right? That's what they tell me. That's how you make a happy wife, happy life. So we look and there's like, there's not much. There's a lot of shoot 'em up, bang 'em up movies. There's some weird ones, La La Land, stuff like that. But my wife is not big on the shoot 'em up movie, so I got to find somebody to go see the movie Logan, the new Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman. So maybe Josh Hancock, our Hollywood insider, the man that matches the car with the film in Hollywood, also big car guy, as you know. He did a TV show called Shifting Gears, I don't know, 1874, long time ago. So, Josh, is the movie, first of all, is the movie good enough to go see? Am I going to waste my time? Is it a fun movie? What's the story?
Oh, gosh. It is a great movie.
Well, I like Jackman. He's a good guy. He's got a little cancer on his nose. I don't know what he's going to do about that.
There's a lot of carnage in the film, yeah. But, you know, we already know that. Wolverine creates carnage.
Right.
You know, I also worked on the film.
Right. Well, I mean, but it's different to work on it than you see it getting made. You're working on the cars and stuff. But to watch it objectively, like, you know, a movie goer, my wife doesn't like this stuff. That's the problem. So
very difficult to watch something objectively when you've read every page of the script. Now, right. That said, I was pleasantly surprised when I went to see this film because it kind of took me away. I didn't get stuck on every page in the script. And I really do believe it is a really good movie. I mean, I haven't found a bad review of it.
Okay. Well, that's good. But
it's full of carnage, so you've got to deal with that. But what I like about it is there's a reason for the carnage. It's sort of like, if you could be a superhero and go around and kill people, you'd have a lot of people on your list, Alan.
Oh, I would have a blast. It would be so much fun.
At the same time, if you could eject those claws and swipe off a few of these people, it would be great for you.
I would love it.
You know, we've talked about this on the air. I've just never been able to really talk about it until it's out because of my non-disclosure. But we built for Wolverine a limousine that is from the future. You know, the movie takes place in 2024, 2029. And with the help, I went to six major manufacturers. With the help of FCA and specifically Chrysler, we built this amazing limousine that just doesn't exist. It is completely unique to this movie. A fellow by the name of Nick Pugh designed it. And, calling it out, going, what the heck is that car?
Hold on a second. So we were talking about this at SEMA 2015. I was helping you find gauges. And
yes.
That's how long you've never breathed a word. By the way, the guy's name is Nick Pugh.
Yes.
You know what wise men say? If you fart in church, men sit in own pew. Okay. So there you go.
Oh,
there you
the
go.
Pain of it all. Yes.
Sorry, I had to go there, you know.
Nick is a great designer who...
don't tell him my joke then.
No, I'll try not to. It was good. It wasn't against him.
No, it's just a good joke. Yeah. All right, hold on. I got to take a break. Hold on.
Okay.
You know, I love talking movies and cars with you, and I just, matter of fact, spoke to the president of Dodge over at FCA, and as you know, they are about to launch the Dodge Demon, which really should have been in your movie. I'm sure that...
A lot of interest here in Hollywood on the Demon.
Well, the Demon. And in a movie called, you know, Wolverine and Logan. I guess I got to go see it. We'll talk on the other side. We've got our Hollywood correspondent, Josh Hancock from Josh Carr. Ay, ay, ay. You didn't like my puke joke, huh?
Yes. Go to the ad, please.
All right. Time to pay commercial breaks and pay the bills. Man who fart in church, sit in own pew.
Oh, God, we're going to repeat
it. All right, we'll be right back. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget, the 10th of April, I'll be on ABC with Kelly Ripa, Live with Kelly, showing brand new cars from the New York Auto Show all week long. All week! Four cars a day, my 18th year. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Josh Hancock is on the line. He is the Hollywood correspondent for The Drive here. And he is also the Hollywood insider, the guy that matches the car with the film and the character, all things film and television. Worked on the movie Logan, the new Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman. Did you know he had a little cancer on his nose, by the way? Did you know that, Josh?
You know, I actually don't read the gossip columns like you do, but I have heard
Hey, I was at Albertsons. What could I do? I was standing there. I'm like, oh, the poor guy. He's got cancer on his nose.
To finish up on the film, I'm just going to say also that we use a Dodge Rebel pickup that Logan drives in the film. And I would like you to look at the door handles of that truck when you have a moment.
You mean, so when you're saying a Dodge Rebel, you're talking about a Ram pickup that's the Rebel package.
I'm sorry, I should not have said Dodge.
Yeah, I know, you dated yourself.
It's a Ram. I don't want to get Mr. Kaniskas upset at me.
Exactly.
Because when I was in meetings and I would say, well, let's use the Dodge, and they would look at me like, it's not a Dodge, it's a Ram.
I know. And it actually is a Dodge, but it's called a Ram.
Not according to them.
I know. It's crazy. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, you just have to correct yourself and apologize.
Okay, so when we go see the movie, we've got to look at the door handles. Why? Because they're all scratched up because of something or what?
You know what? I said look at them.
All right.
You have to guess? No, you don't have to guess. You just have to look at them.
Thank you. Something you did. You were involved with it.
Okay. There is a movie coming out.
By the way, also look at the tailpipe. Anyway, go ahead. Movie coming out.
There's a movie coming out called Baby Driver. Baby Driver has Kevin Spacey, Jamie Foxx, and this young actor called Ansel Elgort. And it's a driver's movie. It's a car movie, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And it features a Subaru WRX STI and some of the most amazing stunt driving you'll ever see.
Ah.
So that's just a little footnote to the viewers. Look up Baby Driver when you watch the trailer. It'll make you want to watch.
By the way, speaking of that, did you see they just posted this week that they took an STI Subaru down a bobsled run, and amazing. And then they decided, okay, we did that. That was fun. Let's go back up. So they drove up the bobsled run, which is just shows you the capability of a Subaru.
Yeah, they also did Isle of Man with a stock car, you know?
Right, which if you don't know what that is, Google Isle of Man racing and you'll go, oh, my Lord, what is – these people are crazy. Yes, they are. Hey, by the way, hold it. I want to ask you about something. Now, my turn. There was some scuttlebutt, which I don't know what a scuttlebutt looks like. I don't want to see it. If you've got one, keep it in your underwear.
Yes.
But there was some scuttlebutt about an Enzo Ferrari movie, and they've announced finally that, you know, they're going to do it and somebody's going to be starring in it. What's the story there?
Well, in fact, we're going to see a number of movies come out, mostly about Enzo Ferrari and Henry Ford II and their squabble. And the creation of the Ford GT40 40, the original GT40.
Right.
And, you know, eventually Le Mans. There are several films that have been in development. Some are shooting. So we're going to look at all sides of that time period.
Who's supposed to star in that? Tom Cruise? What's going on?
No, Hugh Jackman from Logan.
That's how I found out he had cancer on his nose, by the way. Just checking to see if you were paying attention.
Again, the Albertsons News brought to you by Alan Taylor in aisle three.
Exactly.
Very,
it's a true story. I learned everything in Albertsons from the National Enquirer or whatever.
Yes, very credible source.
That's right. Who cares where it comes from?
Hugh Jackman. So I wanted to say, because you had mentioned the Dodge Demon and all of the car guys are going crazy because the Demon is going to be, you know, will be coming out soon. I was just going to say, there's a couple of things, you know, around Hollywood. I'm always keen to what everybody wants and what everybody's asking me for. Probably right now, the number one thing is the Raptor, the Ford Raptor pickup.
Yeah, I drove it, by the way, and if you would have been listening to the show, you would have heard my review. Thank you very much, Mr. Hollywood correspondent Josh Hancock.
I didn't.
Okay, well, anyway, that's another story. I got to take a break for the news. We got another hour. Josh Hancock, everybody. Love you, man. Be good. Stay you. What'd you say?
Thank you.
What'd you say? We'll be back after the news. Stay with us. It's The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And welcome to another hour of our automotive funhouse, you might say. Car love, PJ Colleen snickering in the background. BJ Colleen is a contributor to this show and has been for a long time, and her and I both have worked at a number of different automotive enthusiast magazines over the years, many, many, and too many years that we've been in this business. Good morning, good day, good afternoon. Where the heck are you?
I'm home for a change. Can you believe it?
Goodness gracious. As much as you fly around the world, I think you've called in from China before on the show, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. It was that was crazy, upside down China. So I'm in the process of tearing my brains out, because we're actually buying that Kia long term Sedona that we've been talking about for the past 2 years. That's how much we like.
I'm telling you, that right there is an endorsement when you actually go, you know, we've had it for 2 years. We're not ready for something else. We love this thing. We're buying it from them. Because how it works, everybody, is that if you make a deal with an auto manufacturer, look, let us drive this. Let us give it real world conditions and we'll report to the world how the car's treating us. And we've been doing that here on this show for the last 2 years. You know, normally it's a 1 year thing and they're like, hey, you know what? We kind of like it. Let's go another year. And basically, in essence, it's so that you folks know, that's kind of what J.D. Power is, the voice of the consumer. You folks know what, in a real-world situation, the car is doing. How is it handling? How many miles you put on it, by the way?
Well, that's the funny thing. You know, Kia gave a lot of different magazines a long-term Sedona. And I was looking at Kelley Blue Book and everybody like that. And they put about 18,000 miles on before they turned it in. We have 60,000 miles on our vehicle.
Oh, my God.
So what I consider a real world test, you know, 18,000 miles, maybe you get one oil change in there, you know, that's right, about it. But, right. You know, we've done our 60,000 mile service. And I mean, we've documented everything that was on Car Buzzard and on your show and a bunch of other, you know, sites, you know, Vroom Girls and everything. So we have good documentation of it. And, you know, the car's been just a charm. And to be honest, Kia gave us a great price on it. And the fact that we've been the only ones that have driven it, we spec'd it out the way we wanted it. You know, it'd be stupid to walk away from it because it really has been a good car. And truthfully, I don't think I could pry it out of Scott's hands because he loves the car so much. So, you know, it's just the problem is the car was registered in California and the car is owned by a manufacturer. And so when you do all the loan deals and everything, you know, they can't sell the car. It's got to go through a dealership and got to change the insurance. So, you know, buying a car is fun, but it's also the biggest pain in the neck you've ever seen in your life.
It is. We were talking a little bit. There's a certain indignant part of, you know, it's like you're literally having to like stand naked in front of a bunch of people and have them go, well, I see. You know, it's just, I hate buying cars. The one thing that I do not like, and perhaps that's why the used car market is the way it is. You go in there, you throw your cash on the table, they give you the title or they register it for you and you walk out, or even out of the newspaper. That's when you hand them the cash, count it out, get the title. You know, do the what is it called? What is it? Fact check where they check the car, see if it's been wrecked or any of that garbage. My kids do it all the time. Carfax.
They do like a Carfax.
Yeah, Carfax. Yeah. They call it the Carfax or whatever. I already know. I don't do it because my kids now, if I want to buy something, I sick my kids on, you know, and they go digging into the internet. You can Google the serial number, believe it or not. It'll tell you a tremendous amount about the car. I learned that doing the symposiums with Barrett Jackson. Google the serial number. It'll tell you.
You mean the VIN. Right?
Yeah, the VIN number, the serial number, VIN number, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's interesting how much you can find out. So whether you want to pay, you know, like a Carfax or whether you want to just do that kind of stuff, there's information out there if you want to find it. What are we going to talk about in the next segment here, by the way? Because I got to take a break.
We're going to talk about there's a big war brewing.
Well, are you talking about because of Trump or are you in the car business?
No, I'm talking luxury car wars.
Oh, okay. You got to be careful what you say these days with all the news.
You're right.
There is a big war brewing, but that's North Korea. That's a whole other story. Yeah, that's Fox News. Go see that. That's news at 11. We'll take a little break. It is The Drive, our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. We'll be right back. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. They are domestic, but not domesticated. And they're going to be showing a brand new Dodge Demon, of which the world is waiting to see what the heck is going to happen there. Because the Hellcat is 707 horsepower. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. And now they've got a version of that called the Demon, and they'll be showing that at the New York Auto Show April 11th on a Tuesday. I think that's a Tuesday, April 11th. And I thought I was going to be showing it on TV on Kelly's show, on ABC, Kelly Ripa's show. But I don't think that's going to happen now because they want to show it on a certain time, like right after they show it, they want it on television somewhere. And they're basically putting it out to bid now. Who will give us the biggest coverage? Isn't that interesting? So BJ Kalinko, I know. And listen, Kelly's show is number one in the morning talk show, but then you got the news shows, you know, Fox and Friends and things like that. So I'm not sure what day we'll show it. I was thinking that they would do it on Wednesday, but the way it works on that TV show, by the way, is they have every day is a different theme. So you have, you know, one day will be economical cars. One day will be family cars. One day will be, you know, concept cars. One day will be sporty cars. Well, this Dodge Demon fits into sporty cars. And I think that's going to be on toward the end of the week. And I don't know because I don't have the schedule yet, but I was talking to the Dodge folks and they're like, this is world-breaking news, this vehicle. So whatever it does, everybody, if it starts out life as a 707-horsepower muscle car and goes to some far extreme from there, imagine what this thing might be. Anyway, you wanted to talk about luxury car wars. Forgive me.
No, I still want to talk about the Demon because, you know, they're doing an intro that they invited all the journalists to ahead of time. I'm not going to be in New York this year, but you definitely should go to that. I assume you got the invite. Or
oh, yeah.
I hope you got the invite.
Yeah, we're sponsored by Dodge.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, it should be on your show on TV, but I guess we'll see what happens. But
you know, I might do a Facebook Live thing. I was talking to the folks at USA Today, who I do some stuff with, and I said, why don't we do like Facebook Live? You got like 5 million likes or whatever. What is that called? Followers? Likes? I don't know.
Yeah, you got followers on Twitter followers, I think, is I forgot what it is. But yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Right? So then the world could see it. You know, whatever the heck they're going to be showing, it's supposed to be something that has never been done before in the history of the auto industry. How do you like that? So,
well, you know, when you think about things that have never been done before, Dodge and Jeep and Chrysler together have done some of the most creative and unique launches at auto shows ever. I mean, you remember when they drove the herd down the main drag at Cobo before the auto show with the freaking steer and everything?
Right. It was trying to mate with one of the cows right in the middle of all the they're running that all down the road. And this one was trying to mate right in front of all the journalists. It was like, oh, that's not – shun thine eyes. Don't look.
And then
children.
Then they crashed through a glass wall. I mean, they've done a bunch of really bizarre stuff. So I can't even imagine what – they're probably summoning the real devil. I don't know. So –
from what I understand, it's going to be a star-studded event, too. So on top of having the car, they've invited lots of celebrities and what have you. 2 minutes till we have to take another break. Tell me, get started with this this luxury car wars. We'll finish on the other side.
Well, you know, the luxury brands fight every year to see who owns the title. And BMW loves having that title, that they sold the most luxury cars in America. And Mercedes actually has kicked them out to the curb last year. So BMW is coming back, and they're saying they're launching the biggest model offensive ever. Over the next 2 years, they're going to unveil 40 variants, including the new X2 compact SUV and a full-size X7 crossover. So they're going absolutely nuts with these vehicles. And, you know, you've ordered a Mercedes. You've looked at Mercedes. They've sliced this market up so thin. They have so many different models. I don't know how anybody makes a decision. I'll be perfectly honest. With so many different variants and so many different models, and now they're going to a total of 40 to compete with Mercedes-Benz, it's just out of control, Alan. It's crazy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Perhaps they want to cause confusion in the marketplace, and the reason is, think about it. Let's say the BMW dealer and the Mercedes dealer and the Jaguar dealer and all the luxury Cadillac and whoever, Lincoln, they're all in the same, you know, auto row. And some towns have that, you know, where they all congregate in one area. And it makes it a lot easier for the shoppers because then you can go, well, let me go see what the guy across the street will do for me. You know, so there's a little bit of advantage for the consumer. But also, there's a whole lot of confusion. If you have 40 variants, 40 different things available to buy from one manufacturer, they make everything from the biggest big SUV, like you're talking about BMW going to do, to the littlest little of things with the, you know, the BMW like X1 all the different variants of that as well. You've got 1 through 7 and all the different styles and shapes and flavors and colors and engine sizes and hybrids and all these things. Hey, all of a sudden, you don't got to go across the street. You just go, well, we can't really afford that payment. Well, what can we get for $299 a month? And what can we get for $599 a month? And all of a sudden, it becomes a payment choice, an interest rate choice, and things like that. So this whole thing may be part of their master plan. Let's cause confusion, keep them right here on the lot, sell them with the right payment and interest rate. Wham, bam, thank you, man. We sold another one. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor with BJ Colleen, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Are you looking for a tool that can quickly change from sanding to cutting to scraping? Well, the Craftsman C3 19.2 volt multi-tool offers multiple uses with just one tool. The quick blade release feature allows you to easily exchange accessories with a simple lever rotation. Variable speed settings and two built-in LED work lights will help you finish a variety of projects on your to-do list. Pick up your Craftsman C3 multi-tool today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And I'm here with BJ Colleen, contributor to this program and many other great places around. You can find her if you noodle her a little bit. How do people find you, by the way? How do they find your writings?
They can just go to Google and put in BJ Colleen, and I pop up on the 10 pages.
I tell you.
It's crazy.
By the way, our show brought to you in part by GoRVing.com. And I'll tell you what, springtime is coming. And I'm thinking about, you know, this summer is going to be a summer of relaxation. I want to be able to go and get away. And I want to be able to turn my phone off or go where my phone doesn't even work. So I have no choice. I have never been to some of the places like Yosemite. Have you ever been to Yosemite?
Absolutely. It's wonderful.
I know Yosemite Sam lives there, you know, so I want to go visit Yosemite. Yeah, Yellowstone. I've never been to any of those places. So
go to Yellowstone. We camped with our RV at Yellowstone. It's wonderful.
Well, there you go. So I'm going to do it. I might even do some videos and stuff and some, you know, the thing about Facebook now, these silly phones that we have, you can like document your life. And when I was growing up, I got like 6 pictures of me growing up. What's going on? My kids have got hundreds of thousands per year.
Do you really want to know why there were no pictures of you when you were growing up?
Yeah, well, I finally had that big thing removed off of my back.
I know why there's no pictures of me growing up, because I was kid number 3. By that time, the parents were over it.
I was kid number 4. What are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. They're way over it. That's
way
why
over it.
At all.
Totally. Well, so you were talking a little bit about luxury car wars and there being 40 different variants of BMWs as time goes on. And I think all the automakers are going to do that. And they're going to try basically to have one marketplace. If you love German cars, come to BMW. Don't go over there to Mercedes-Benz because we have everything you need. We even make a van. We make an airplane. We've got boats. You know, at some point in time, it's going to get kind of crazy. But right now, 40 is already confusing as hell. But imagine when all the automakers start doing that and there's – how many is there right now? There's like 350 different models out there.
I think it's got to be more than that.
Yeah, it's crazy how many choices we already have. And what happens is people give up. They go, I don't know. I've always liked German cars. Let's just go to the BMW. I'm American guy. I want an American car, you know. So it's, you know, some people like the Asian cars because they're trustworthy. You know, Toyota, you never have to pop the hood, so they say. So people buy brands. And that's why actually my company is brands you trust, people you love, because after the brand, after you've decided, all right, you know, this brand is good or that brand is good, do I love the treatment I'm getting from the people when I go to that dealership, right? That
yes.
The manufacturer then delivers on a brand promise. And so I think that's so important. And it's interesting, the marketing of these machines, even the marketing is so important because they're appealing to something in us. The car is a personal conveyance of who we are. So they're appealing at every level, and the marketing is equally as important to that whole thing. What do you think?
And I completely agree. And what you said, you know, before we came back from break, you were talking to me and you said, you know, we're going to talk about the business of the car business. And, you know, people think, okay, it's just car reviews and things like that. But the business is so deep in this because it touches so many people. I think it's like one in every 5 people in America is some connection employed to the car business.
Right. Because if you think about it,
manufacturing,
you
advertising.
Have everything from gold and silver because of the electronics these days, right?
Yep.
You have glass, you have steel, you have rubber, you have leather cows, right? You've got every wood. I mean, it's like it touches the whole world in some way. Continue.
Oh, so talking about the business of business, you know, every manufacturer has an advertising agency, and those ad agencies make pretty darn good coin from these manufacturers. And so if you get an account, and I used to work at Doyle Dane Birnbach, which was famous way before the Volkswagen account, you know, with the little ads in the 60s with the VW Beetle and things like that. And when you get one of these accounts as an ad agency, you hang on tooth and nail because it's huge, huge billable numbers.
Right.
Well, Minnie's agency, Butler, Shine, Stern, and Partners, has actually resigned as the U.S. advertising agency for BMW's Mini brand, and they've had it for 11 years. So usually when something like that happens, it's either some kind of conflict with the new management, or it's actually the fact that they've got another account and they can't have two automotive accounts because it wouldn't be, you know, correct to do that. There'd be too much competition. So the agency, which has done a very good job for Mini, is backing out. So you got to wonder what's going on here. You know,
so what you're saying is they fired their client.
Basically, which rarely happens.
I know.
So,
well, yeah, it's funny. I was talking to my business partner. I do a show called Business and Burgers. And you guys, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. And I do a show with – it's sponsored by Microsoft called Business and Burgers. You can find it at businessandburgers.com. It's a really cool show. We take somebody to lunch who's an entrepreneur, and they share the secret sauce of their success with us over lunch. It's a video show. And I was talking to Scott, and I go – you know, I've got some clients because, you know, he and I do a lot of marketing together. They make me want to pull my hair out. Now, Scott, as you know, BJ, is bald as a pickle. I mean, he shaves his head. And he goes, I know, look at me. He goes, what do you think? I've pulled it all out. And what, the clumps that were left, I shaved off. And it's true. You know what, though? You got to stand for something in life. If you don't stand for your principles and your virtues and your values and your morals, what the heck is left? And so I applaud any company that has the courage to fire a client for not, you know, for whatever reason they had, I don't know, but for not being able to be in sync with, you know, the plan, if you might say. But that's a big deal. You're right. It's millions and millions and millions of dollars. BJ Colleen, I love you. You're the best. Thank you. Congrats on getting the ownership of the Kia Sedona minivan. That's awesome.
Well, we'll get it in a couple of days.
Well, but you already have the car, so who cares, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break, and this is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka.
I can't stop this feeling.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this song was, I mean, as appropriate as it could be for the guy that's coming on next. Hold on. Well, maybe not that part, but the Ooga Chaka. John Ellis. John is the founder and technologist of Ellis & Associates, and he is also the most connected car guy that I know. He was the previously the global technologist or something like that over at Ford Motor Company, and we got into a big fight one day and became friends. That's how I become friends with people.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, John. It was great seeing you at the Chicago Auto Show a month ago and meeting your wife and everything. And you know,
we have to correct it, right? I wasn't really at the show. I went to go see two cars, then I left, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to ruin my image if people think I actually went to an auto show.
Well, you know what? You went at the right timing when nobody's there, and I happened to catch you kind of in the after hours, and the public's not allowed in. We get to sneak in and do stuff like that. And
yes.
But that's you know, it's called wisdom.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, did you go to South by Southwest?
I did not.
There was a lot of stuff going on around the auto industry at South by Southwest. I'm still looking for somebody that was there and could put their finger on the pulse of what happened there.
Yeah, you know, so South by Southwest, and a couple weeks before that was Mobile World Congress, and a couple weeks before that was CES, right? I mean, these other shows that are not, they're social or media or digital or consumer, right? They're all other themes. This is just, you know, the tip of the iceberg in terms of the clashing and colliding marketplace.
So you are the kind of guy that I can tap for interesting things. Now, we just talked a moment during the commercial break there, and we talked about the California DMV And something about the, you know, having a real human behind the steering wheel. Maybe you could just touch on that for a minute. And then I want to ask you a little bit about BMW and Tesla and a lot of other, you know, NHTSA and stuff like that. So sure. we got a little time with you. I'm going to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. So historically, about 15 months ago, California DMV had issued a sort of guidance about autonomous driving in the state of California, and had in it had stipulated that there was going to be four key points, one of which was you had to be a human being, a physical person driving the car, that you had to have a license to drive, that you had to be completely in control, i.e. you could not be inebriated or under any influences. And then more importantly, you had to have a certificate of operations. You had to demonstrate that you knew how to operate the vehicle. And just recently, in the last couple of weeks, they have finally now taken the guidance and issued state statutory language, but they removed the requirement for the human carbon life form, the driver specifically. They received enough industry comment and other comment that it was not maybe in the best interest for the state to make that requirement. So they did back off on that.
So in other words, human carbon life form. So if we get an alien and teach him how to drive, get him a driver's license, there wouldn't be a human carbon. It could be some sort of a jelly human.
Well, actually, there's history behind that term. And where it comes from is if you think back, Chris Urmson and our friends at Google years ago, right, started this whole, really started the revolution in terms of how fast they were moving, right? Everyone's been working on this for a long time, but Google really upped the game across the board for everybody. And being problem solvers, Chris and his team, you know, kind of looked at it and said, we need this to become statutory law. And they started looking at NHTSA and the rules. And, I mean, you know this. You've been in the industry longer than I have. NHTSA has tens of thousands of pages of language all regarding safety in the vehicle. But what all these pages have in common is they constantly center on the driver. Like, the driver shall be able to touch the steering wheel. The driver shall be able to. And so Chris and his team, what their insight was, is it is unlikely in our lifetime that we're going to be able to get NHTSA to rewrite the regulations. So instead, they submitted a request for NHTSA to consider language that said the term driver could be either a human being, human carbon life form, or a drive computer, the computer that drives the car. And NHTSA, shocking to so many people, about a year ago said, yes, we'll accept that language. So we will accept that the definition of driver. So in one fell swoop, Google was able to get NHTSA to consider this, and then NHTSA accepted it, that they changed the definition of driver to be one or the other. And so DMV, California DMV, knowing that this was coming, wanted to stipulate, you know, it's not about being a driver. It's about being a human carbon life form. You're a human being in the driver's seat, not the brain of the computer. So that's where the history of the language comes from.
I'm going to start a new radio show and call it Human Carbon Life Form Car Talk Radio.
No. Oh, yes.
Oh, my
gosh. Who said politics and policy couldn't be fun?
Oh, my gosh, right? Well, now, so we were talking just before you got on. I was talking with BJ Colleen, and we were talking about car companies and how right now there seems to be kind of a premium car war going on. And BMW, she brought up BMW. Mm. BMW is going to have 40 different models to choose from pretty soon, which I think is just almost causing confusion in the marketplace because, you know, they want to. They want to have so many flipping models that nobody really has to go to any other car manufacturers because they're making one of everything. Like, we'll take over the world, and you don't have to be a human carbon life form to buy our car. We're going to sell them to Tron vehicle or creatures, whatever. Tron was Tron a person? Was that?
No, Tron was a video game.
That's right. That's right. But it was the people
was
stuck
movie.
Inside of a video game, right? So, you know, it's like, how bizarre. So BMW, there was some news or something around BMW recently too with their cars.
There was, yeah. A couple days ago, so right around the weekend, Automobility News is actually doing the reporting, but BMW, Elmer Frankenstein, who is Vice President for Autonomous Driving,
right,
he announced that BMW would be delivering a self-driving car, what he called a quote-unquote fully self-driving car, by 2021. And the car, he was quick to point out, would actually be able to do levels 3, 4, and 5, so a sort of all-in-one kind of vehicle. And that it would be out by 2021. So, yeah, they were just recently in the news with that, which then, you know, hey, that goes in line with your 43 vehicle types, right? We're going to have 43 vehicle types, and we're going to have one autonomous vehicle with all types of autonomy. Level 3, level 4, level 5, you know, whatever you want.
It's just so bizarre. Do you know what an Aachen head is?
An Aachen head? Yeah. I don't know that I do, no.
So Buick, I know because you worked over at Ford. Years ago, Buick decided to create a humanoid kind of human-like head. And they would put speakers inside the ear, not speakers, but listening microphones inside the ear, listening devices, so that they could, you know, kind of simulate what things sound like, so they could analyze the sounds inside of cars. So they didn't have to have people sitting there. What do you think, Jim? No, it's too low. Okay, how about now, Jim? No, turn it up. You know, it's like, so they're able to do it all through, you know. But the Aachen head, I think to myself, I'm going to buy, like, there's got to be an Aachen head in a thrift store somewhere. It's like, I want to buy one of those.
I never knew that that's what it was called. I mean, so Motorola, you know, going history-wise, we had a technology called Crystal Talk, which was this idea that in a mobile device, when you have a lot of air, like, you know, like when you're walking outdoors or a lot of wind or whatnot.
Right.
So we built some technology with multiple different mics and some DSP, digital signal processing software, that would eliminate the sound, the background noise, very much like what Bose does.
Right.
And we had a dummy head that had all these mics or these speakers around it that would blast at 110 decibels, and then we turn it on and turn it off so that we could prove it.
I got a dummy head on the other side of the phone right now.
There you go. I admit. I didn't realize. I'm now your Aachen head. There you go.
You're like Ellen Taylor. Playing music. Gotta take a break. We'll be right back with more of John Ellis. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead after these messages. I don't think the world is sold.
I'm just doing. Alan Taylor here, and I wanted to share the news with you about the new Haynes Manuals Online. They're the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information, and they now offer online manuals that are formatted to fit all electronic devices. With Haynes Manuals Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual, but with so many added features that help you get the job done right. I ordered one for my car and access it right through my tablet. There are now over 180 Haynes Manuals Online available covering cars, trucks, and motorcycles. You can order yours today at Haynes.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by GoRVing.com. We appreciate that. I'm getting ready to go RVing. John, you won about 2 years ago. You won a RV for a weekend. When are you going to take us up on that, huh?
You know what? My wife has been constantly on me. I got to send you an email to give you some understanding of what the caveats are. Because I thought it was a week, not a weekend.
Whatever, a week. You want it for a year? We'll figure it out. Gosh. See, he's already. Look at. You know what? It's like I asked my dad. I go, Dad, can I borrow $20? He goes, $20. What do you need $10 for? He's grinding me down. You're grinding me up. Look at that.
Well, I am your Aachen head. That's my new job. That's my new role.
John Ellis is the founder and technologist at Ellis & Associates. What do you guys do at Ellis & Associates, John?
We're a boutique management consultant firm focused on embedded software and strategy for transportation and the IoT. I mean, it's basically we opine and help others try and understand everything that's happening in transportation, i.e. transportation 2.0. Is becoming software-enabled, and there are strategies behind handling that both from a fiduciary responsibility as well as from a business opportunity standpoint.
Man, I would have never gotten all that right.
There you go.
NHTSA. What does NHTSA even stand for? A National Institute of Transportation?
It's National Highway Safety Traffic Administration.
See, I don't know. My job is to ask the question. It's your job. That's why, you know, I'm actually the Aachen head.
There you go.
And,
yeah, you know. No, it's an administrative office within the DOT, the Department of Transportation.
I'm actually the schmucken head, but that's...
There
that's
you go.
A, connected car, data, car-to-car communication. Can you wax poetic for 4 minutes on that?
Sure. So last year, right in the waning days of the Obama administration, NHTSA finally brought to the public record and for public comment, FMVSS, Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard 150, the mandate that has been, you know, being debated in the industry with respect to DSRC, dedicated short range communications. So it's in review, and it's what we would commonly refer to as the V2V or V2I space. So it's in review, and we'll see.
Wait a minute,
we'll
V2V is vehicle to vehicle.
V2I is vehicle to infrastructure.
Okay.
And then sometimes we'll commonly just call it V to X, where X is lowercase as if it's a variable, right? It could be any. So it's
right.
V2, whatever, vehicle, whatever. So that's happening. We'll see where that goes, and we'll see what's happening with that. Right, a lot of movement in the industry around that. We'll see what's going on.
But let me stop you there, because I can quickly explain why this matters to people, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Please don't on national radio.
Yes,
V to V or V to I or V to X is the equivalent of a smart car, because as you're going down the road and you're alongside of a building, and then perpendicular, another vehicle's coming down on the other side of the building. You can't see it. And you're both coming along, and for some reason, you're not paying attention, and there's a stop sign, and you're just, and the other guy doesn't have one, and you're just barreling along. Vehicle to vehicle communication means the two vehicles, they're conscious of each other. So one or both will actually slow down and give you a warning sign and say, hey, what's going on? And there will not be an accident. Is that basically it?
That's the vision. That's the dream. Right now, though, the language that's being discussed is literally just the foundational element, which is they're just both shouting at each other. Hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. So right now, as currently written, the language just says that any vehicle sold in the United States post some date will produce what they call the heartbeat. It's a message. It's a lot like a tweet, right? Hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Nothing in the language considers what the vehicles around it should do with that. That was sort of forward-looking. But, yes, the vision is the vehicles would become sentient, right? They'd be sensing and feeling and understanding of their surroundings and then be able to act more intelligently to avoid accidents, correct?
And the word was sentient?
Sentient, as in to sense, to feel, to understand.
Yes, no, I get it. I just like this. Human carbon life form and sentient.
Sentient beings, yes.
You're completely expanding my vocabulousness.
Exactly, schmuck and head.
Right, exactly. See, I'm expanding yours, and together we create some beautiful shiznit. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. See, I'm telling you, Mrs. Littleton, my English teacher, is going to be so impressed when she hears this session.
I'll send it to her because I dropped out of that class. I remember.
Oh my gosh!
All right. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Tesla. Mm-hmm. Can you just tee up what Tesla's doing in like 30 seconds?
Changing the world Tesla is playing a different game. Everyone thinks Tesla's a car company. They're not. They're a software company, and they build beautiful cars, and they're demonstrating it as they roll out their Model 3.
Okay, well, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right?
Yep.
I'm Ferris Bueller. You're his friend that was always like studying.
That kicks the back end of the Ferrari.
The Ferrari goes off the side. That's you. So I'm out getting in trouble, and you're the one who's always getting caught.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Spuckethead.
Exactly. John Ellis, by the way, website is?
I don't have one.
Oh, to heck with that.
That's it.
You know what? He's too expensive. You can't afford him anyway if you have to ask how much or where can you find him. He's a good friend of mine. You're listening to The Drive, a little yellow, oh yeah, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We'll come back. You guys want to hear what he's got to say about Tesla, because this is like, what? Yes, nice cars. Maybe a little deception going on. We'll take a break. It is The Drive. If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, cars are a whole lot more, I think, complicated. Even if you're a car guy like myself, I got to the point where I trust my car to the manufacturer that I bought it from. So choose wisely, people. At the end of the day, you that's all you got, because there's no way you're going to fix your own car anymore without... without really, really, really having... I mean, these newfangled cars, today's cars. I mean, I could take a wheel and tire off, change a tire, and I could do some basic stuff. But when it comes to the idiot lights that come on, I'm the idiot. It's saying, don't touch me, take me to the dealer. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you got to have trust in that dealer. So that's the key to this whole thing. And so that's where J.D. Power comes in, J.D. Power and Associates, the voice of the consumer. That's when they give them these awards, you know, for owner satisfaction and initial quality. And so it's the owners of the vehicles. They've had them for 6 months. They get a little thing in the mail. It says, how was the car for the first 6 months? Oh, it was great. No problems. You know, how has the dealer treated you? Oh, wonderful. They have a Starbucks at the Lincoln dealer now, whatever it might be, right? Which, by the way, the Lincoln dealer that is also the Volvo dealer, the Galpin Ford where I go, the Ford dealer across the street, they have their own Starbucks inside the dealership. So the dealers are getting smarter and smarter and smarter and making that owner experience really good, because that's what sells cars. The cars are all good. Nobody makes bad cars. John Ellis with us. Does anybody make a bad car, John?
Not any car sold in the United States.
Right. That's always my caveat.
Safety and safety standards have evolved a great deal since the beginning of time.
And to that point, Tesla was the one, you know, I think it's probably 8 or 10 months ago, they're like, we're going to be able to do updates through the air. You don't even have to bring your car into the dealer, because at midnight, all the cars are going to get an update to their software through the air, through the wireless or the infrastructure or whatever the hell it's called. And maybe you could, you know, talk about that for a second. And then let's talk about what Tesla is doing. Can they actually update right through the air?
They can, and they have, and they've been doing it for a good number of years. In fact, you and I both have briefly talked about this, right? Last year, the tragedy of the accident in Orlando or in Florida, young man lost his life and the car was in autopilot mode.
Right.
NHTSA has now released the report. They're finding that, in fact, it turns out that the autopilot function works perfectly well. And in fact, it does exactly what Tesla did. It certainly was human operator involvement in the tragedy. But more importantly, what they found was that Tesla actually now is able to demonstrate that they have two populations of cars, those that have, you know, all the cars have the hardware, but some cars had the software, some cars don't. It was an option. You could buy it. And so they have two pools of two populations. And what NHTSA was able to find is that those cars that were not enabled, but then over time bought the software and enabled themselves, actually they became 40% less involved in accidents or near accidents. So
wow.
NHTSA's analysis showed that changing the efficacy, the availability of the car over time worked. So in essence, it was a sort of support and call out to the idea that Tesla's been saying, you know, through software, we will continue to make that hardware product better and better and safer, and more importantly, more fun for you.
What was the word you used there, the efficability?
Efficacy. The ability to actually do what it's supposed to do. The efficacy.
Efficacy. I got to write that down.
Come on, Schmuckethead. You got to come with me.
You and the big words. I'm a car guy. Stop it. Okay. Now, but Tesla, you know, they had that low-end version where you could, you know, get the kind of the smaller battery or the less range. Give us a little insight on that. What's going on there?
Yeah, so Tesla had, on the marketplace, they had a 60-kilowatt-hour version of the car, and they had a 75-kilowatt version of the car. And physically, if you were to look at the cars physically and only physically, they were the exact same car. What Tesla was doing through software is range limiting, or, you know, limiting the battery. And what they were doing is they were selling it as an option. So I want you to be able to buy my car. I want you to make it affordable. So I'm going to only sell you the value that you want. And then over time, you'll either like what you buy and you'll want more of it, or you'll be just with what you have. And they found out that more and more people, once they understood the Tesla value proposition, were buying the software to unlock, right? They were basically buying the features and give me the additional range. And so Tesla just in the last couple of weeks has now announced that, you know, in preparation for the Model 3, they're getting rid of the 60 kilowatt hour option. They're just removing it from the website, and they're only going to sell the 75 kilowatt option.
So is that them being more honest? Is that them being more fair? How would you describe that?
That's them being a software company. They're value selling.
That's being smart.
Well, no, they're being smart, right? The hardware. I mean, the hardware can do everything that, you know. They are offering you the differentiated service offering, right? The same hardware you can buy. The hardware only doing a quarter of its work, 50% of its work, 75% of work, or 100% of its work. You know, it's an option opportunity for you. So, you know, it's really good, right? Differentiation.
There's nobody that I want to call a schmuckenhead more than you, so I won't, but I will because I just did. You're a human carbon life form that's sentient, and you're odiferous.
Odiferous.
I love you. You're the best. My friend John Ellis, founder and technologist at Ellis & Associates. Thank you for the download.
You're more than welcome, my friend. Anytime, I look forward to the next one.
All right. Well, that's about it for us this week on The Drive. We thank you guys for listening. We'll come back next week with some more shenanigans. Now, for your listening pleasure, because John's in Chicago, here's Jesus Just Left Chicago.
Look at that,
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.